Well, welcome everyone. Today is going to be a different kind of service. It may have sounded like it was starting the same way, but you're going to see it's going to get very different. We're all going to be together today for the whole service. That's everybody. Our children, our parents, our grandparents, everybody all together. And we need to invite everybody to come together, okay? This is everyone's church, and we invite everyone to enter into the church, to come in and be happy. You know, one way that we could describe our religion is a religion of promises and principles. Now, over the last 7 weeks, we've been focusing on our principles. What's a principle? Does anybody know? Yes. Michelle will come and bring you a mic. Who knows what a principle is?
Anybody know what a principle is?
Not the man at your woman
I'm
at your school.
It's like someone who runs a school.
It's someone who runs. That's one kind of principle. But when we say we're a religion that has seven principles, what are those principles?
Just taking a guess. A saying that you try to live for.
Wow, that's great. A saying that you try to live by. I'll take that. That's great.
Tom, can I take one more answer?
Sure, one more answer.
Kind of like a law.
Kind of like a law. That's a good way to look at it too. Well, today we're going to look at all our principles again, all seven. But before we do, I want to focus on that other P word. Who remembers what the other P word was that I just said? We could be a religion of something and principles. Promises. Okay. What's a promise?
No one knows what a promise is. All right, Allie does. I'm going to go over and see Allie. Allie, what's a promise?
It means, like, something that you do for somebody that you're going to really do.
Okay.
Do for somebody else that you're really going to do. That's a promise.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, do you have an idea of what a promise is?
It's something like if they say, can you keep a promise to do something, then you should do it.
Okay, it's something that you say you're going to do, isn't it? Okay, so what are the promises that we make to each other? Well, there are special promises that we say every week, and we call them something, we call them by another word, we call them by covenant. Our covenant is really the promises that we make to each other. So, as the Brunel family comes up to light our chalice, I'd like to invite you all to repeat those promises we make that we call our covenant. It's found in the order of service. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. So what do we promise? We promise to help one another, don't we? That's the last one. Okay, we need everyone's help again. So in your order of service, you're going to see that there's group one and group two. We start with the first principle. This side of the room is going to be group one with me, and that side of the room is going to be group two led by Michelle. So does everybody have their order of service so they can read the principles with us? We're going to do the first three, and then Michelle is going to give you a message. Okay? So, group one, starting with me. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
Two, over here. We believe that each and every person is important.
We affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relationships.
And then group two. We believe that all people should be treated fairly and kindly.
One, we affirm and promote acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations.
And group two. We believe that we should accept one another and keep on learning together. All right, now I have a message for you, but I need a couple of volunteers, and I'm just going to randomly pick people, and I hope you're okay with this. Bethan, Elliot, Char, and Elizabeth, or Liz. Come on up. So I'm going to ask you guys to pretend to do something. Now, everyone knows what bullying is, right? It's when you make kind of fun of someone. So, Liz, I just want you to sit there and pretend, okay? And I know Bethan's done improv before, right? I hope. So I'm going to ask you to just like, and she doesn't mean this. She's just going to make fun of you for a little bit to show what bullying is. And Liz, I just want you to stand up like this and just, your school is stupid. You're stupid. Your life is annoying. She were to keep doing that day after day. Every time she saw Elliot, she would pick on him. That's bullying, and it's wrong. She's wrong, isn't she? Isn't that wrong to do that? What's wrong with what Liz did? Oh, I heard someone. What did you say, Lelia?
She didn't do anything to help.
And every time we bully, there takes the bullier, there takes the person being bullied that's the worst, but it also takes the people, and I know Liz wouldn't do this, but someone like Liz who just stands around, maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're, I can't speak up. Something might happen to me. But a bully has no power if someone isn't watching them. A bully has nothing to do if someone sticks up and says, hey, that's not okay. Don't do that. So in our principles, it tells us that everyone is important. And it tells us to, we should accept one another and keep on learning together. She's not accepting Elliot if she says nothing. She's not telling Bethan that Bethan's wrong and help Bethan learn if she says nothing. So our principles tell us that we have to do more than just stand around and watch bullying. Not only should we not do bullying, but we can't be the quiet person that just watches either. And if you can't go up to the bully and say something, who else could you say something to, Liz?
A teacher,
a parent. You could go home and say, Mom, Dad, I saw something really awful and it really bothered me. And maybe your parent would call a teacher or call a principal or talk to the neighbor if it was one of your neighbors. But don't ever just sit by and watch. If you can't say something to the person, say something to somebody. Because that's what our principles say we as Unitarian Universalists do. Thank you for your improv.
Oh, yeah.
that song. It's a wonderful song. I heard it somewhere before, I think. Maybe with different words. Okay, we're going to do the fourth and fifth principle now. And then we're going to have another message about that. We affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
Okay, and in your orders of service, I'm going to read where it says group two. We believe that each person must be free to search for what is true and right in life.
Group one, we affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large.
Group two, we believe that all persons should have a vote about the things that concern them.
You're on, Michelle.
All right. So first I want to, the fourth principle says we believe that each person must be free to search what's true and right in life. And then the fifth principle, the grown-up part, says something about having the right of conscience. And that means you stick up, just like we said for bullying, you stick up for what you believe in no matter what. And that is a hard thing to do. And a long time ago, there was a woman named Lydia Marie Child. And do you know that song, Over the River and Through the Woods? She wrote that song. And so most people just think of it, she usually went by Maria Child. Most people only think of her as writing that song, but I found out some other things about her. First of all, she was Unitarian, and she lived a long time ago when there was still slavery. And does anyone know what slavery is? Okay. And when you did work as a slave, did you get paid for it?
No.
In fact, they went to Africa and other countries, mostly Africa, and told people, you're getting on the ship, we're bringing you to America, and you're going to work, and you're going to have to do whatever we tell you to do. Obviously, that's really wrong. But a lot of people didn't think that back then. Guess what Lydia Marie Child thought? Do you think she thought slavery was good?
No.
And it was on, that wasn't, the, usually people didn't think that way then. So Maria first started writing in a magazine for children. It was one of the very first magazines ever written for children. And she did a great job. Thousands of kids got her magazine every month or every couple months. And then she also wrote some books for grown-ups, one in particular on Native Americans, that got to be really popular, and she got to be really famous and wealthy, and she got invited to parties all the time. She was very popular. But then she wrote another book against slavery. She was called an abolitionist, and she said in her book, slavery is wrong. And do you know what happened to her? People said, that's wrong. You can't believe that. That's terrible that you think that way and that you're writing a book and telling us that slavery is wrong. So she stopped getting invited to parties. She lost her job writing the magazine for children. And she went from being popular and wealthy to having no job at all. And you know what? She could have said, I wrote that book. It was a mistake. I don't think that's true anymore. And then she would have had her wealth back. She would have had her friends back. But she didn't think that way. She thought, I have to stick up for what I believe. And so she did not take back what she said. She believed so strongly in the abolitionist movement and in fighting against slavery that she kept working on it and even met with other Unitarian Universalists and tried to change their minds so that they would also start fighting against slavery. So she was someone who stood up for herself and really stuck to what she believed. She followed her conscience.
Great. And do you know she lived just down the road in Wayland? No. Knew that. So she lived only maybe about 8 miles from us, right here. And she, like many great leaders, let her light shine. What our principles really call us to do is to follow what is true, to stick to what our conscience tells us to do, and don't just keep it to ourselves, but let others know, like she did. Following our principles, our way let our light shine. Okay, group one and two, are you ready again? Just one principle this time, the sixth principle. Group one, we affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
Group two, I want to hear everybody in group two this time, okay? We believe in working for a peaceful, fair, and free world.
How do we make a world community? How do we reach out and connect to people far away, even people we may never have seen before? Well, one wonderful way to do that, that our church has been doing, is through our Southeast India project. And you know, connecting to people. This morning, Esme, where are you? You gave me this beautiful card that you made for me, and I think it's all about connecting to other people. Is that right? Great. Well, thank you for giving that to me, because it really talks about what we've been doing in Southeast India. Now, how did that start? Well, there was a tsunami, a very bad storm, and there were a group of kids in India who lost their families, and they lived in an orphanage, just all the kids together, and didn't have parents. And Bob Tabor and Vicky went there, and they saw that those children had very little, so Bob helped us to connect to them. Now, some families here have adopted those children, not in the same way that many of us are adopted, that we come to live and make a new family. We couldn't bring those children here to do that, but we could send money and help to take care of them. And many families in our church have been helping to create this world community, and they've done so by adopting a child in this way. And also, almost all our children have connected to other children's there. I want to show you, well, a couple of weeks ago, do you remember when Laura Cotelda Holmes, I don't remember if it was at this service or at the 11, but she shared her thoughts on the sixth principle. And she brought a picture of a young girl in India who was holding up a picture of Laura. And it was, she was smiling. And do you know how she got that picture of Laura? She got that because it was in a little gift bag. What do we call a friendship kit? A friendship kit that we sent over there. And I wanted to show you, maybe you can see some of these. Michelle, maybe you can help me hold some if I need to. These are the children in India that we have connected to make part of our community. And, yeah, I got a bunch, so stick here for a minute. But this is Bob with those children. And I wanted to show you a couple of pictures of, here's, can you see that? That's Vicky giving one of the gift bags that comes from here. How many of you have been involved with gift bags? Raise your hand. Okay. And do you have pictures? Do you have a picture of the child that got your gift bag that came back to you?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, here's several of them opening up those gift bags, one of them playing a recorder that was in those gift bags, making art from pipe cleaners that were in those gift bags. And I just wanted, for those who haven't seen these, here's two pictures. This is Karen Kinnear and her family. This picture being held up by the young girl that got the gift bag from them. And Jean and Dave McKinley are in the other picture there holding up the gift bags. So do you see how these are people that are far away, that we don't really know, we don't even speak the same language that they do, but we've connected to them, and they've connected to us in this way. And that's one way that our sixth principle goes into work. And for those of you who've made that connection, I hope you cherish that picture, because that's a picture of you helping to create world community. Now I'd like to go to our final principle, with which we're going to have a really good time. So let's start by reciting it first. Group one, are you ready? We affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
All right, group two, you ready? We believe in caring for our planet Earth, the home we share with all living things.
Okay, we're going to talk about the interconnected web. Isn't that a big word? And I need, you know, you have to be really smart to talk about this. I don't think any of you have met my friend Hoot. Hoot is really smart, so he's going to help us to understand what an interconnected web is. Okay, so what's a web? What's a web? He talks very soft. He said that a web is something where everything is connected to everything else. What do you think he means by that? Anybody know? Well, let me ask it this way. What happens to a web if one strand in the web gets broken?
Look at the spider web. What happens if a spider web...
What happens if the strands get broken? What happens to the web?
All right, I'm going to go over here. This is the labia.
What do you say?
Spider will have to make a new home.
What do we say?
The spider will have to make a new home.
The spider, boy, and that's a good way to look at it. If we don't have our web, we lose our home. Anyone else? What happens to the web? Well, it falls apart, doesn't it? See, we all depend on what we're connected to in the web. And if we break the web, we lose our connection to what's important. So, Hoot, how do we all help create the web? Okay. We create the web by taking care of each other, by taking care of all the creation in our planet. So today we're going to create a web. Somewhere is the earth somewhere. Where is the earth? Who's got the earth? Can you hold up? There's the earth. We all connect to the earth in our web. Okay? Now, we know that there's all kinds of animals and plants on the earth. Now, we couldn't bring in real horses and cows and birds and snakes and camels and church, but we do have stuffed animals. How many of you brought a stuffed animal today? Raise your hand. Okay. And did some of you find stuffed animals in the pews where you were sitting? Yes. Okay. Okay. And we've also got things like seashells. Did anybody find a seashell in the pew? I saw a couple of them somewhere. I think there's one in the front, Michelle. The seashell? First pew, maybe? Second pew? Okay. That's the big seashell. Right. What about, we've got, do you like my dolphin?
Yeah.
By the ocean? Yeah. And we've got blue balloons, dark blue for water and light blue for sky and the air that we create. Okay. So I want everyone to pick up or to connect to one of those other things in the web. And I want us all to connect to each other. So maybe you can hold one end of the horse and somebody else can hold the other. And then we're all going to connect to the earth. So let's come together. And I also have a friend here, my friend the frog. Are we one?
We are one.
Okay. You can let go. Talk about a dog and pony show, huh? Okay. All right, I got a question for you, Michelle. We might need the microphone again. Okay. My question is, why do people give money to church? Does anybody know? We should know the answer.
All right, I see a hand up over here. But a grown-up can answer this, too.
For some type of donation.
Okay, it's a donation. Let me tell you, there's a wonderful man. His name was Francis of Assisi. Okay? He, by the way, loved animals and all creation. And he used to say that it's in giving that we receive. Does anybody know what that might mean? Anybody know what in giving we receive?
All right, I see a hand up over there.
It can be an adult.
Yeah, why don't we have an adult this time? In giving we receive. What does this mean?
Can anyone?
I think Justin wants to answer. I think I saw his hand go up.
Well, I think maybe getting the most important things in our lives require giving of ourselves.
That's great.
Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah. It's true that when we give generously of ourselves, somehow what we get back from that, whether it's from helping other people or contributing, what we get back is always more than we give. At the end of our service, we have what's called a benediction. And you know what benediction means? It's a word from another language, like we did Dona Nobis Pacem a couple of weeks ago. Benediction, if you divide it up, it means good word. benediction, good word. So I want you now to help me with the benediction. Michelle, can you do the microphone again? Can you think of one good word that you think we should leave today with that word in our hearts, or that thought? Just one word, and let's get some words. And adults, please join in too.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Anybody else have a word?
Trust.
Trust.
Happy.
Happiness. Sure.
Fairness.
Fairness.
Mike's going to take some on that side too, so we'll take charge.
Yep.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Peace.
Liberty.
Joy.
Joy. I'm waiting for a love word. Whoops, there it is.
Interconnected.
Interconnected.
Possible.
Possible.
Connections.
Connections.
Love.
Love.
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Couple more.
Sharing.
Sharing.
Compassion.
Compassion. Let us hold all those good words in our hearts as we go forth this week.